Welcome back to the Jerry Bader Show. I am Seth Mueller, sitting in for Jerry today. The phone number 888-455-1360. Okay, so we've got a situation where Russian forces are moving into Crimea. Now, with this referendum that the people have said, yeah, we want to be part of Russia again. Sure, they did. Typically, with a diplomatic and peaceful transition of government, there would be a little bit of time frame as things were transferred over. Treaties would be signed, agreements would be done. No, this is not how Russia does things. When you are doing things on the sly, when you are doing things underhanded, you move in, you take control, you take charge right away. You squelch any of the opposition right away, and you make a show of force right away so that you come in and you establish, we are the boss, we are going to be doing things my way, and if you don't like it, well, we have a solution for your problem. And that's exactly what he's doing. When the Crimean Defense Forces, which are basically the Russian forces, moved into the naval base of the Ukraine, they swept in. They cut the gate down. This happened this morning. They came in. They swept in. They cut the gate down. This was a non-violent attack. But make no mistake, it was an attack. No fights. No shots were fired. But this was a show of force. They moved in masse. Basically overwhelmed the forces that were there at the naval base. And fortunately, there was no gunfire. But they moved in, and the Ukrainian forces basically said they left. Some soldiers were waiting around for orders to stand down. Others just packed their stuff and left. Make no mistake, this is not a political will of the people. This is an attack by Russia. All right, let's go to Yen in Green Bay. Thank you very much for calling. Thanks for listening to the program. What can we do for you?
Hey, great. This is Yen, and I would like to say a few things that you never hear on the mainstream radio. First of all, when the Soviet Russia had this block of countries, it was their practice to practice genocide. Anybody that's of any connection with Ukraine knows that they came in and killed tens of millions of Ukrainians. This was under Stalin. This kept on going. In Latvia, they did the same thing. They moved into Latvia, took over the country, and sent the Latvians off to Siberia, off to the Gulag Archipelago. And they just took the country and moved to the furthest east area or furthest west area where there was some contact with prosperity. Now, they did the same thing in Ukraine, where they moved into Croatia or to Crimea and moved them over toward the prosperous countries that had any prosperity left. They just displaced people, and they murdered people on a huge scale. The story of Ukraine has never been told properly. So that's one thing. Another aspect is that we have an agreement with Ukraine. We signed an agreement with Ukraine and several other countries, including Russia, that if Ukraine would give up its nuclear stuff, then we would protect their independence. Well, you can see how it works out. Even Putin and President Obama did the same thing. They renewed that agreement. It was a treaty with Ukraine. And I never hear this said on any mainstream media.
Well, this is exactly why the Russian government has done this the way that they've done this. You see, they're not viewed as an invading force. The people voted, okay? It's the will of the people that they took away from the Ukrainian government and sever ties with the European Union and Western allies and become, again, a Russian protectorate, a Russian colony, if you want to call it. And because it is done under the guise of the will of the people and as a, you know, it was a vote, a referendum, then technically, legally, the treaty isn't being broken. Russia isn't an invading force. Russia is simply, well, they're simply obeying the will of the people. And it's splitting hairs. And this is where this political nonsense gets wrapped up. It's like, look, this is not the will of the people. This is not a situation where they're looking to change government. They are being annexed. They are being taken over, plain and simple.
We proposed to send them Ukraine a long time ago. We had proposed to send them some sort of weaponry that would help balance the power there. Well, no, we couldn't do that. No, we couldn't do that. We couldn't do anything to enforce that treaty that we made. We couldn't keep Ukraine prepared. No, while Putin is playing poker, Mr. Obama is playing old maid. He doesn't know what to do.
He's getting some bad advice. That's for sure. Yeah, and thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate your input. Also, this leads back to a conversation we had a little while ago when the Secretary of Defense said, hey, listen, you don't understand the battlefield anymore. We're not going to have to face large national militaristic threat like Russia or China. No. What we're going to have to face are these pockets of idealistic attacks in the vein of the terrorists. We're going to have the need is going to be not for a large mechanized military. We need small special forces. We need teams of 10, 20 guys that could go in, kick butt, take names, kill things, break people, come out and get the job. But we don't need any. We can scale back the military. To which Vladimir Putin is going, nah, that's exactly what you need. And everybody said, you cannot adopt the attitude that we do not need a strong, global, dominant military force just in case someone somewhere decides with a large army to get frisky. I find this to be absolutely amazing that almost everything that we have said that goes that stands against the Obama administration's foreign policy is coming to fruition. One of the things that I wanted to get into, and we'll touch on it next, is I have said all along, A, Obama wants us to be on an even playing field with the rest of the world. He thinks that all nations, if we're all equal, nobody has an advantage over the other, that we'll all play nice and we'll all be fair and loving to each other. That is never going to happen. Never. You are always going to have someone who is going to wait until the force that is denying them their desire of either expanding their forces, expanding their wealth, or, you know, just to be fun with it, world domination. As soon as that force is eliminated, either by orchestration or by happenstance, they're going to make their move. And why some of our political leaders refuse to open their eyes and pull their head out of the sand and view the world as it is, even though they say, well, I'm very pragmatic. I view the world as a realist. No, you don't. You got your head wedged so far up your butt, you're never going to see daylight. Okay, so let's go to Bob in Green Bay. Bob, thank you very much for holding on. Thanks for calling the show while I rant and rave.
Oh, that's all right. Hey, listen, I have a question for you.
Sure, Bob.
What's the difference between what Putin is doing to the U.K. versus what Mexico is doing here with us? It's a peaceful invasion, is it not?
Well, I understand philosophically what you're saying. I do not. Russia has a very set goal in mind. Vladimir Putin is a very dangerous, cold, calculating individual that is going to do exactly what he wants to do. Now, when it comes to illegal immigration into Mexico, okay. But I don't find that the intent of the Mexican government, the leadership of the Mexican government, is as insidious and as intentionally dangerous as Vladimir Putin. I see what you're saying. Politically, kind of an underhanded way, they're moving in, taking over. But I do not believe that any leadership forces of Mexico want to take over territories of the United States. Now, I'm talking the leadership of Mexico. There are groups, La Raza and others, that think that the southern states of Texas and parts of Texas and New Mexico and other things should be returned back to Mexico. I understand that's a fringe group. But the leadership of Mexico at this point is not intentionally trying to take over or annex parts of the United States. Russia has every intent of controlling as much of that part of the world for their own political and, more importantly, economic gain and energy gain as humanly possible. All right, let's take a look at our response to what's going on. First of all, Ron Paul, God love him, he's wrong. His attitude is, so what? So what if they switch over? I find this to be a disturbing attitude. First of all, take a look on the map for me. And a lot of people have the belief that this area of Crimea is adjacent to Russia geographically, that it's Russia, Crimea, then the rest of the Ukraine. No. Crimea is a very small little jutty. It's an area that juts out into the water. It's like a Anyway, and it's south of the area of Ukraine. So what you're seeing is not a contiguous expansion of their territory, kind of a leapfrog. The second thing is that this area of the world is incredibly important when it comes to oil pipelines. This part of the world is critical when it comes to getting the natural resources out of that area into the world market. So should we be doing something about it? Most definitely yes. But what can we do? Well, because of our economic state, because of the state that our country is in right now, we are very limited as to what we can do. However, I do believe we have some effective tools. But what are the repercussions? I want to take another break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about what are some of the things that we can do. We're not going to put boots on the ground. I don't believe that taking a military stance against Russia at this point is a good idea. Economically, yes. But there's repercussions, as there always is. We'll talk about that when we get back. I'm Seth Mila. We're discussing the Ukraine. I'm sitting in for Jerry Bader, 888-455-1360.
Jerry Bader Show.